It's good to see everyone out this morning. We have several visiting with us. Thank you so much for being here. It is wonderful to see you. I want to encourage and invite everyone to follow along with the things that we'll have to say in the sermon this morning. Jesus, lover of my soul. We have not sung that song in a while. Beautiful song with a wonderful message. And it's hard to think of a song that better fits what we're going to be talking about in the sermon this morning as we continue our series of Christ in Colossians. Now, Paul had a very specific goal. As he went throughout this book, we talked about it in the sermon last Sunday morning. That step is complete, to set forth and make known the preeminence of Jesus Christ. He has done that. His credentials are firmly established. Verses 15 through 20 of chapter 1, we saw that He is the Creator, He is the Sustainer, He is the Head of the Church. And there were some really incredible statements made about Jesus there. In Him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and in everything He might be preeminent. So, Paul wanted those Christians in Colossae, and us by extension, to know and to be certain of the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Mission accomplished. He did that. That was step one. But as we continue on throughout Colossians, and I hope that you've been finding the time each week, if not to read the letter every day, at least be able to read it a few times during the week. And if you have, then it's become clear that Paul has a very specific goal in mind for those Christians. I want you to read your Bibles, or open your Bibles rather, back to chapter 1. And I do want you to read your Bibles. Go back to Colossians chapter 1. Let's read verses 9 through 14. 9 through 14, Paul's going to set forth really some goals that he has for them. Now, back in chapter 7, he's talking about how he's heard from Epaphras, who is the one who actually preached the gospel to the Colossians. I've heard from him how well you're doing, everything that you've learned, your faith. So moving into verse 9, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now, when we think about those verses, there's a lot of heavy expectation found there. And Paul's making it very clear. He wanted them to be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's the will of Jesus Christ, the will of God. Be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. There in verse 10, he wants them to increase in the knowledge of God. He shows in those verses he wants them to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, and bearing fruit in every good work. He says he wants them to be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. And he says, "I want you to be filled with gratitude toward the Father for all of the incredible blessings that He's bestowed upon you." As I said, those are some heavy expectations. Now, that's what he wanted from them. By extension, that's what's wanted from us. God preserved this for a reason. And so we might look at this and say, okay, obviously the Christian who's doing that is just living a blessed life and is looking an awful lot like Christ in this life. But how in the world are we supposed to do this? Well, we do it the way everything in Colossians is done. We do it in and through Christ. If you want to turn your Bibles over to chapter 2, we're going to focus for a few minutes on the first three verses. Now, it's all going to be up here, but you can read it there in your Bibles if you'd like. First verse of Colossians 2, 1 through 3. Verse 1 says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." I want you to think about that. In Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. First thing I want you to consider from this verse is the statement that Paul wants them to reach all the riches of full assurance. Now, I want you to think about that word assurance. Assurance is more than just confidence. You can be confident in a thing, but not be absolutely certain about it. But Paul wants to go beyond just confidence. And he's telling them you can have the riches, full assurance, complete and total, absolute certainty. You can have that. And what a treasure that is. And it's a key element to our faith. That assurance that we can have is what will prompt and promote the type of life that Paul is describing in this letter. I want to read some verses with you here from Colossians chapter 1. Let's go back to the beginning. And we're going to pick up in verse 3. And we'll take that down to verse 8. Then we want to move ahead to verse 21. Colossians 1, picking up in verse 3, Paul says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel." We can go ahead and stop there, but I want you to notice what he said. "We have heard of your faith. We have heard of the love that you have for all of the saints, and you're doing that. You're living that way. You've been transformed because of the hope that you have for that eternal inheritance." Now, if that hope is just something that I think we might be able to get there, and I can have a little bit of a confidence about that hope, but I'm not 100% certain that it's real, that can be a reality, that's not the life it's going to produce. This is full assurance that is leading to a rooted, grounded faith, that is leading to a brotherly love that cannot be hidden but is practiced constantly. And it's all because of the assurance of that hope. Let's keep picking up in verse 21. "And you, who once were alienated, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." I'm just going to tell you this, guys. I would not be a faithful Christian. I would not continue doing what I'm doing. I wouldn't be here with you now if I didn't have that assurance. You look at what he says, how he describes them. Back there in verse 21, "You were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, but he has now reconciled you in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." That life That life that is above reproach, that life that is constantly spent in prayer. And whenever one of us sins, and we all sin from time to time, we go to our God and we repent of that, and we have the assurance that we are forgiven. We have the assurance that our sins have been washed clean from our souls, and we have the assurance that our Lord can help us be holy and blameless. If we didn't, why would we do any of this? But we do. And that's what Paul is striving to get them to understand. Beloved, I want you to know that when you talk about the promises contained in Scripture, when you think about all of the blessings that we are told come upon us as a result of our Lord's sacrifice, when we are told about the hope that we can have and what is reserved for the faithful in heaven, we can have more than just confidence in that. Pretty sure that it's right. We can have absolute assurance. And in a world where a lot of things are not absolutely assured, for this to be one of them, what an extraordinary blessing is ours. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 6 talk about the key factor that assurance plays in saving faith, and what a wonderful thing that it is. But Paul wanted them to have full assurance in something in particular. And so he goes on there to say, the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The gospel, which is the greatest news that has ever been given or ever will be given, is the unveiling of the mystery that God had even before the foundation of the world. Now, mystery as it's used here, it doesn't mean something that cannot be understood or something that's just, you know, it's not something you're ever really going to be able to grasp. It just talks about something you can't know till it's been revealed. And that's what has been done by God through Christ. He has revealed to people what His plan has been even before the foundation of the world. And that plan is Christ. I want you to look at verses 6 and 7 of chapter 2. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. The passage says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You ever been out, I don't know, maybe you're working out in the garden or in the front yard or something, and you're doing some work close to a tree. And you're digging, maybe you want to plant something, and suddenly you start to hit the roots. And you're hitting the roots of a tree that has been there for a long time. You're not moving them, are you? You cannot pull them up. You really sometimes can't even cut through them. They are so deep and so secure. You just can't get them out. That's what Paul is saying. That's the illustration he's using as it relates to us and Christ, and in particular, knowledge of Christ. This idea of rooting ourselves in it so deeply that no circumstance of life will be able to take hold of us and pull us out of that. Nothing will be able to convince us to uproot and go elsewhere, because those roots just keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, how does that happen? We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But I want you to notice here that assurance is being connected to the understanding and the knowledge of Christ. You know, sometimes brethren will talk to me about the uncertainties that they're having in their lives. And sometimes brethren will talk about past sins, and they'll wonder if those sins can be forgiven. And they'll talk about things that are just causing them to waver. And something that always jumps out to me is almost invariably, Scripture deals with the specific concern they have. Almost every single time, the answer is here. And oftentimes, the answer is here over and over and over and over again. The assurance that Paul is praying for them to have and telling them that they can have is not an assurance that comes from man. It's not an assurance that I can go to that person or that person and have a conversation and come away knowing I have the assurance of salvation. I have these things. I can only go here to the one who can grant the assurance, because this is where it's found, and we have to keep it in our minds. As we continue on in Colossians, we're going to find a couple of words being used over in chapter 3, the idea of renewing and the idea of dwelling. Now, I want to look at these verses, first 9 and 10, and then verse 16. 9 and 10 says this: "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." Verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." First of all, I want us to focus on this thought. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. It is being renewed in knowledge. Paul said earlier that he wanted them to grow in the knowledge of God. He also said earlier that Christ himself is the revealed mystery of God. We take all of this, we put it together, and what is Paul saying? He's saying this: master your Bible. That's what he's saying. Master your Bible. Now, maybe somebody says, "Well, are you saying there's ever going to be a time when we get to the point and we know it all?" No, absolutely not. In fact, you're going to find the more that you learn, the more that you have to learn. But we have a lot of information entering our minds every single day. Information from the workplace, information from the school, information within the family, information from pastimes and hobbies and entertainment, information from sports teams, always constantly rattling around in our minds, and we're bringing more of it in on a daily basis. That's just what life is as people continue to live it and experience things. And there are a lot of discussions and a lot of topics that we would feel absolutely 100% at home having. We could go through the auditorium and just go to everyone's profession. And in your area, particularly if you've been doing it for a while, you would be absolutely at home discussion about your job. You know what you're doing. You've been doing it a while. You could teach others to do it. You're comfortable there, right? Or we could go to favorite sports teams, and there are some of us here who can give you minute information and detail on our favorite sports teams, and very comfortable with those sorts of conversations. Comfortable talking about family. A lot of information rattling around up there about COVID, about vaccines, a lot of different things, politics. There's only one thing that reveals the mystery of God, and that's Christ. That means there's only one thing that is absolutely 100% essential that we know. And it's the good news of the gospel. And every part of it. And every part that orbits around it. What Paul is urging the brethren there in Colossae to do, what he's urging us to do, is to be at home in the Scriptures. To get to the point where our language is the language of Scripture. To get to the point where it has so saturated our hearts and so saturated our minds that as situations and circumstances arise in our lives, whether they're good things, whether they're tempting situations, whether it's a hard time in our lives, Scripture is there and it just comes forth because it fills us that way. That's what he's urging on them. That's what he's urging on us. Look with me at verses 8 through 10 of Colossians chapter 2. The passage says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority." You have been filled in Him, he said, of those brethren, because Epaphras had told him how they were doing. They were doing very well. But we have to choose this. We have to choose to be filled in Him. We have to choose to allow ourselves to be rooted and grounded. And if we don't make that choice, then we may learn a lot of things in this life and master a lot of things in this life and be very at home in a lot of things in this life, but God's Word will not be one of them. Let's make it not just one of them. Let's make it the priority. Because everything that seems so important now, when we get to eternity, we're going to learn just how important and what was important. We're going to have to take a good hard look at our priorities, and I pray that we do it before we get there. In the second part here, verse 16, Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Now, when this verse was written, when Paul originally wrote this, I am certain he did not have, now this is going to become a battleground between congregations that use instruments and those who don't, and that's what this is going to be about. This is about letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I want you to think about that word richly. What do you think about when you hear it? What does it mean if something is in you richly? Well, it certainly doesn't mean that just in your ordinary walk of life, something as a matter of course just ended up in your mind and ended up in your heart. If something is in you richly, it is there because you want it there. It is there because you're allowing it to be there. It is there as a treasure. It is there as something that fills you up to such an extent that you want to focus on it. You want to think about it. It's not there just because you feel duty-bound to have it there. It's not there just because you feel an obligation for it to be there. It is there because you love it. And that's what Paul was saying in this passage. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it become, of all the information that you have in your mind, of all the new information you're hearing on a daily basis, let this information be the one you treasure most. Let this information get the top spot in your life and just let it fill you to such an extent that it's bursting out through the seams, so to speak. And he goes on in this verse to show that the Word of Christ is dwelling in you richly. You're going to teach it. You're going to sing it. You're going to thank God for it every single day. And that's what it means to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I pray it's something that we are all doing and something that we are willing to do. Now, maybe somebody says, well, why would I do that? Why would, for the remainder of my life, I give myself over completely to this Lord? And why, for the remainder of my life, would I commit myself to studying and understanding a book that I will never be able to fully, totally, with no more questions, grasp in its entirety? I will never plumb the depths of this book. So why would I even try? Well, I would try because the one we're talking about is preeminent over all things. I would try because this one, even though he is preeminent, died a death designed to reconcile me to God, even though that's the last thing that I deserve. And I would do this, I would give myself to this, because in Christ, and only in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is God's revealed mystery. And the words of Paul here in Colossians, Christ in you. That's what the whole thing is about. That's what our lives as Christians are about. Christ in us. And as I was trying to come up with a way to bring the sermon to a close, it occurs to me I can't do better than the words of Paul himself speaking through inspiration of the Spirit in the very next verse of chapter 3, verse 17. So whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. And I pray that's what every single one of us would be willing to do. And we're going to continue, Lord willing, throughout Colossians. There's still a lot of Christ left in this letter. And Paul's going to set him forth in a number of ways. And Lord willing, we're going to see that as we continue on. I pray that the sermon this morning has been an encouragement to you. If you're not a Christian, if you're not already in this saved relationship with Jesus Christ, you have the opportunity to do that even now. Believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, because He is. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus as Lord, and be immersed in water to have your sins washed clean from your soul. That's where Scripture tells us we put Him on. And we contact that cleansing, saving blood of Christ. If you're subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.